February 1941, Nick Nolte, star of Another 48 Hours, was born in Omaha, Nebraska. The Fritz Lang-directed Western film Western Union, starring Robert Young, was released. And Superman saved Lois from a bullet, pretty much by accident. It all happens in the next issue of Action Comics.
Greetings, super friends, and welcome to another thrilling episode of Reaction Comics, where today we're discussing issue number 33 of Action Comics from February 1941. What I always like to do is talk about the cover of the Action Comics issue. As we know, Superman's pretty much on every cover now. Wasn't always the case. But the stories are still only, 13 pages long, and these are still, giant magazines with tons of different stories. But to ensure those books get sold, you got to put Superman on the cover, right? So we see Supes. He's holding an armored car over his head, and he's leaping away. These two guys inside the armored car. The armored car is. On the side of it, it says armored car service. It's almost like on TV when you see the beer cans and they say beer. He's holding this car over his head and leaping away. And who is he leaping away from? He's leaping away from gunfire, because on the ground, you see kind of a fancy car and three fellas, two with handguns, one with looks like a Tommy gun, shooting straight at them. Looks like they're trying to rob the armored car, and Superman got there in time. At least that's what I assume happens, and he's leaping them away to safety. Again, this has nothing to do at all with the story we're about to read, but it is pretty exciting. So let's get to the story, Superman by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Now, I don't know what exactly this drawing has to do with the story, or it has to do with this this first box of text we see. I think this is Lois, based on what I see in the lower right corner in another frame. I believe it's Lois, but so I'm going to say it's Lois in a whirlpool, like a whirlpool, the funnel when the water spins, and it's a whirlpool, right? Yeah, that's what it's called. And it looks like she's kind of being sucked down into it, and Superman is jumping down to save her. And in the box text, it says, "A lumber camp deep in the wilds of the North Woods. Former fat prophet disappearing. Hundreds of underprivileged children suffering as a result." That read almost like it should have been read like this. "A lumber camp deep in the wild woods of North Woods. On the wilds of the North Woods. Former fat prophets disappearing. Hundreds of underprivileged children suffering as a result." I wish I could read. Clark Kent dispatched by his newspaper to investigate notes something amiss at the lumber camp, but later, as Superman, he does something about it. So it's almost like this is, where the old ones used to say Superman was here to help the underprivileged. Now it's kind of giving a summary of what you're about to read. Something to do with a lumber camp, and the prophets are disappearing, and children are suffering? Underprivileged children. Oh, that's even worse. And Clark is going to investigate, but Superman actually saves the day. So we jump down to, there's only three panels on this page. One giant panel of the action, the whirlpool. And then the next thing we see is two old fellas. We're in the office of Ken Hall, owner of the huge Hall Lumber Interests, one of the world's most profitable enterprises. Oh, one of the most profitable enterprises in the North Woods, not the world. Again, reading is fundamental. So we have this old guy standing up talking to this other guy behind a desk. And the old fella, the older fella, because they're both pretty old, he's like, but this plan that upon your death, I love when he explains the plan to us. But this plan that upon your death, all proceeds from your lumber camps and mills are to go toward founding a free summer camp for underprivileged youths. Whatever gave you such an idea? I was a kid in the slums myself, and I haven't forgotten how I roasted in the city in those hot summers. Draw up those papers. So this guy, Ken Hall, wants to put in his will that if he dies, all the proceeds from his lumber camps, which apparently aren't camps, they're like a place of work. But those camps, all the proceeds are to go towards founding a free summer camp for underprivileged youths. And this guy doesn't like the idea. But Ken Hall's like, damn it. I was an underprivileged kid myself, and I want to give back. So at the Daily Planet, it looks like the news got out, because Lois is behind her typewriter, and she's like, this fellow Hall is all right. I didn't know millionaires were built that way. And Clark's there, and looking down, he's like, a man can have a million and still have a heart. Because doesn't Clark have millions of dollars that he got in that stock, that stock fraud thing that he did? So the next panel we see, it looks like we're just seeing the woods. And it says, one evening, Hall saunters across his vast property on a lone inspection. His figure is engulfed by a long, dark shadow. Suddenly, a piercing scream, and you just see, yeah! We don't see anything as far as the dark figure. We don't see anything as far as this guy walking. We just see the woods, so it's kind of... It's just telling us, it's not showing us. But the next panel, we see at the base of this cliff, he must have been pushed off the cliff, because we see his corpse. We see his corpse just lying there, just kind of like, I'm dead. And we see two fellas, they're like, it's Hall. And then the next panel, I mean, there's a lot happening in one page. So the next panel we see, the headline's already out in the newspaper. Lumber King dies in fall. Will benefits underprivileged. Then the next panel is, it looks like this is Brett Hall, his brother. And he's calling the newspaper and he says, White of the Daily Planet. And interesting, is this Perry White? Are we finally, is this the first time he's been referenced as White, at least in Action Comics? I love it. So he says, White of the Daily Planet, this is Brett Hall speaking, brother of Ken Hall. You can inform your readers that I will fight Ken's ridiculous will to the limit. The very next panel, he's already in court. The nation's eyes focus on the Hall case, which is fought in the highest courts. And he's looks like he's sitting in the witness stand, and he said, it is my contention that my brother was out of his mind when he drew up his will. That's the only thing we see of the case. The very next panel, we see Clark back at the newspaper talking to the editor. He says, good news, lost his case. The underprivileged kids will get the revenue. Oh, this is good news, lost his case. Like, they didn't say Hall lost his case. Not very well written. Editor's like, fine, that rates plenty of space. So I guess he's telling him this is going to rate lots of space in the newspaper. Then the very next panel, it says, several months later. So in this panel, in this one page, we see Hall was murdered, or pushed off a cliff, we assume. We see his body was found. It was in the newspaper. A guy said he's going to fight it in court, fights it in court, loses it in court, and now we're several months later. And Lois, wearing the exact same outfit she was wearing in the first panel, in the first page, says, you wanted to see us, Chief? And the editor, which I assume is going to say, is Perry White now? Is that who he is? But I don't know yet. We're not quite there, but we did hear White. He said, it's about the law, the Hall lumber interests. You'll recall that the unfortunate city youths organization won the Hall case. With the revenue from the lumber company, they were to operate a free summer camp for the boys. However, not one cent of revenue has been forthcoming. How come it's always the boys? Whenever they're like underprivileged girls? So White keeps talking. He says, the management claims they've been hampered by sabotage, workers killed in a wave of accidents, explosions in the night, and falling trees. And it shows under that, there's a panel of a falling tree that's about to crush a man to death. And Clark's like, this looks like someone is deliberately causing these accidents. But for what purpose? And he says, that's what I want you to discover. Get to it. Get to work on it at once. So Clark and Lois jump on a plane and head towards the Hall Lumber Camps in the North Woods. Landing at Braunston, which wherever they were, the reporters leave the plane and wait upon a wharf for a boat to take them across the river to the camp. Clark's like, if we can get in on the inside, we can investigate quietly. Suppose you try for a job as a cook, while I apply for a position as a lumberjack. Clark's like, you're a lady, you can cook. And Lois says, I may qualify as cook. Not a cook, but as cook. But I can't visualize you as a lumberjack. And a boat comes over. And Clark's like, will you take us over to the island? We've heard there are jobs open over there. And the guy says, all right, get in. This guy does not look like, happy to see them, but like this is a job. So they're going along at a good clip in this boat. And it's very, the water is very rough, it looks like. And Lois says, good solid boat you've got here, skipper. It has to be to buck this current. Clark says, it does look like a tough body of water and cold as ice, too. And this guy says, if you think it ain't, just try falling overboard. You wouldn't live a minute, sure as my name is Cliff.
What?
They said it looked rough and cold. Why, Cliff? Why would you say,
well, if you think it isn't, jump overboard.
You wouldn't last a minute, sure as my name is Cliff. I wanted Clark to be like, so is your name Cliff?
It sure is.
Okay. Now, from the opposite side. Okay, this guy looks like the brawny man. From the opposite side of the opposite shore, a pair of cruel, beady eyes surveys the two newcomers. But they can see them from the boat. So Lois is like, who's that man on the wharf? And Cliff, you know, Cliff, everyone remembers Cliff. He says, that's Francois Beignet, boss of the camp. Toughest man in these parts. I've seen him take a man in two hands and break him over his knee just because he didn't like something the fella said. Seems like a good boss. Clark says, I won't say much. So they land on the wharf and they approach Bernier, I'm not sure. And this guy is a hulking figure. He's like, you want the jobs, hey? What you do? You ain't lumberjack. I'm assuming this is his accent, so that's the way they write it. I'm going with it. He says, Clark's like, no, but I'm willing to learn. And Lois, who's wearing a nice little beret, says, and you'll rave about my cooking. And then this guy grabs Clark's hands. He says, let's see your hands. All soft. But I see you get work. Work to break back, maybe, and put good blister on those soft hands. Now you both go to bunkhouse, arrange for quarters. Girl, you come back. Then we're hired, Clark says. Gee, that's swell. I don't know if this guy should be French or Russian. The accent I'm choosing, so we're just going to all have to deal with it. So they get to this bunkhouse. Clark's like, not very comfortable quarters. Lois is always complaining. That's you. What did you expect, a Park Avenue penthouse? But I mean, there's broken glass. There's an open can. It's just this little, cabin. Tiny little cabin. So, back at the wharf, we see Bernier and Cliff talking. He says, Cliff, I don't like the look of them. This is how it's being written. It's literally being written, I don't like the look of them. So, I'm just putting a little flair on it. I think somebody sent them up here to spy on me in the camp. The one coming back to the wharf, we finish now. Cliff, you get rid of her like you did that other spy last month. Cliff's like, no, Mr. Bernier. Please don't make me do that again. I ain't been able to sleep. I ain't been able to sleep good since I knocked that man into the river. I ain't gonna do it. And Bernier's like, do like I say or I break both arms. And Cliff's like, oh, let go. Okay, I'll do it. He's like, listen what I say. I sent that girl in boat with you. Getting dark, no one sees from the main shore. You get boat by big whirlpool, You hit her over her head and push her overboard. Understand? And Cliff's like, I understand. I understand. Here she comes down. So Lois comes up and he says, get in this boat with Cliff. Go to main shore to seaside. Cliff, good guide. That's mighty nice of you, said Lois. So she gets in the boat with Cliff and Cliff looks at her and says, you're going to enjoy this sightseeing trip. Cliff, I didn't think you wanted to do this. Off sets the boat on its murderous errand. And we see Ben-Yair talking to himself because people love to do that in these comics. He says, I'll show her what Francois Ben-Yair does to spies. So they're going along in the boat, Lois and Cliff. And Lois is like, say, this current is terrific. And Cliff's like, yes, we're near the whirlpool. Now you can see it from a safe distance. Meanwhile, Ben-Yair puts Clark to work. He's like, you take this X, split that wood. Clark's like, I'll try. And he's, you know, he's banging it, but he's barely putting any effort into it. He says, faster, faster, you softy, faster. Clark's like, I'm doing the best I can. But then he's thinking to himself, I could do this job in 1 second flat. But the thing to do right now is to pretend great effort. So we're back with Lois and Cliff in the boat. And I love this boat because it's a small little speedboat, but it's got one of those wheels that looks like it should be a pirate ship wheel. So Lois is looking out of the boat saying, oh yes, now I can see it, the whirlpool. And Cliff is thinking to himself, a quick blow, a shove overboard, and that's the end of her. Cliff, 5 minutes ago, you were not on board with this. But instead, the very next panel, he's got a wrench and he smashes her. And she goes, help, oh. And Cliff said, spy, will you? Smashes her with the wrench. The next panel, we see him push her into the water. Next instant, a splash as Lois's form is heaved into the river. As the unconscious girl reporter is caught in the grip of the whirlpool, round and round she whirls. Okay, now we're seeing it's not the exact same drawing that we saw in the first panel. Obviously, Superman's not there. But we do see that it is, in fact, Lois whirling around in the water, about to drown to death. And finally, now she looks like almost like an angel dancing in the water. Finally, she is sucked down beneath the surface of the water. And it's very it's almost like a dream. Like she's like, oh, falling. You feel like there should be music playing as she's kind of, drowning. And Cliff is in his boat. Remember, we thought Cliff was like, he wasn't into this, but he's like, he's in his boat right now. And he says, that weren't as bad as I thought it'd be. Maybe Ben-Yair will let me try it again with the other fella. Now Cliff has the taste of murder like ingrained in him. The first guy he did it, they said they did it to the other spy. He couldn't sleep. He didn't want to do it to Lois, but now that he's done it to Lois, he's like, he loves it. And he wants to get Clark out there and do the same thing. So we go back to Clark and Francois, and he says, what's the matter with you? And Clark's like, I thought I heard a scream for help from the river. Sounded like Lois. And he says, never mind what you think it sounded like. Get back to work. He goes to shove Clark. And Clark's like, something's happened to Lois out there. I'm going to go find out what it is. So he takes off. Clark quickly outdistanced the lumbering Ben-Yair. He says, come back here. You come back here or I'll break your neck for you. Come back. Like, this guy, Clark just wants a job, and his boss is already threatening to break his neck on the first day because he heard someone might be in distress. You know? I don't know. Is there an HR person he can talk to? Running swiftly toward the river, Kent pauses for a moment in the underbrush. He says, Lois, in trouble. It's time for me to change to Superman. And, of course, he changes to Superman, and the next panel he says, up, up, and away! Is this the... I don't know, but I feel like this is the first time I've heard Superman say up, up, and away, or I guess I've read him say it, at least in Action Comics, and I don't think he's flying. I think he's still jumping, but he jumps over to the whirlpool, and the Man of Steel soars over the swirling, treacherous river. Soars over? Maybe he's flying? Maybe it just kind of happened?
You know, it's one of these things where it's going to just start happening. They're not going to explain it. They're not going to say all of a sudden Clark can fly. It's just going to be like, oh, he always could fly. He just liked to jump a lot. At least that's my guess. So he soars over the whirlpool and he says, Lois, in the grips of a whirlpool. He glances down and then he plummets down into the very vortex of the whirlpool and disappears from view. Down, down swims the Man of Steel at express train velocity. That's a very fast train. Very fast swimmer, trying to overtake Lois. He goes so fast that he goes right through her, killing her, chopping her in half instantly. That doesn't happen. But instead he finds her, still kind of just, you know, looking dead down there. He says, a matter of seconds now, but that's all I need. So he grabs her by the foot, jumps up, you know, kind of swims up through the water. He's like, to top it off, I can only use one hand because he's, you know, holding Lois in the other hand. Not as easy when you can't use your feet, Clark. You can swim with your feet. Superman battles his way up through the vortex against the terrific force of the current, a feat only he could attempt. Up through the surface of the water shoots the Man of Tomorrow, free, free of the whirlpool's grip. This is what he's saying. Like, meanwhile, Lois is like dead in his arms, but he's all excited he got out of the whirlpool. He gets Lois back on the island. Superman lowers Lois gently to the ground. And he's like, if she's injured, I'll never stop blaming myself for not keeping a closer watch over her. And he's just kind of holding her, looking at her. Then he goes and changes. He's like, well, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm going to go change my clothes. The Man of Steel quickly dons his outer garments, returning to his identity of Clark Kent. And I looked it up. Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, CPR, that was not practiced yet. It was not invented yet. I think was it mouth-to-mouth was invented in like the 50s, and CPR, it was in the 60s, I think, is what I read. So when this happened, like, he didn't even turn her over, nothing. He just was like, well, I hope she's okay. Let me go change. And he comes back into his Clark Kent outfit, and he says, oh, she's breathing regularly again. Ought to regain consciousness any minute. And she does. The next panel, she's like, what happened? What happened? He says, that's what I'd like to know. Oh, yes. Cliff struck me from behind. That's all I recall. I must have washed ashore. If we are to carry out our investigation, you must forget Cliff's attack upon you. Like, shh. Here comes Bernier. I want to be like, why do you still need to look up your investigation? Bernier threatened to kill you. Cliff tried to kill Lois. Isn't that enough? Like, what else do you guys need? Time to go write your article. So Bernier shows up. He's like, hey, what's the matter here? Lois fell out of the boat and she nearly drowned. She swam to shore and I pulled her out. He's like, she says, it's a miracle I didn't drown. Old Cliffy walks up and he says, the girl alive? Francois is like, she swam to the shore when she fell from the boat. I talk to you later. Come, I take girl where she can get dry. Go in the shack, both of you. Bunkhouse, he's too big. Too much draft. Bunkhouse, he's too big. That's what they call the bunkhouse, he's. So he puts Clark and Lois in the shack to dry off. But I don't know if I trust him. As soon as Clark and Lois enter the shack, he swiftly locks the door, slams it shut, bolts it, says, now I fix them spies, but good. Cliff, you take those cans of gasoline and empty them all around the shack. He says, gasoline? But I don't want... You do like I say, or I break you in two with my bare hand. Following the instructions of Bernier, Cliff pours the gasoline around the shack. He's just pouring it around, and he's like, but they can't get out. The shack ain't got no windows. Now you're back to caring, Cliff. I mean, 5 minutes ago you tried to kill Lois. You thought you did, and you had this lust to kill Clark as well. So Francois lights the gasoline with a torch, and oh God, inside the shack we see that there are kegs of powder, TNT powder. Why? Oh, I guess lumber you need to make explosions. Okay. So Clark's like, kegs of powder. Lois says, we're trapped. We'll be blown to smithereens. I'm surprised they didn't blow up already. And we see the two bad guys, Cliff and Bernier, running. He says, run, you fool. Cliff says, wait for me. And another minute, then boom, we are finished with them both. Boom. The next panel, a terrific explosion. The cabin just explodes. And Cliff says, "Oh, that finishes them." That is how I handle spies. Maybe they send no more now. But in the very next panel, we go back. It says flashback within the shack just before the explosion. Is this the first flashback I think we've seen? Clark looks at Lois and thinks to himself, "No time to waste. I have to resort to hypnosis." So he looks at Lois and says, "Your memory, becoming a blank. You will not remember what ensues." And Lois says, "I will not remember." He then grabs her, and a moment before the explosion, he leaps through the shack's roof, barely in time. I mean, this is a full Superman pose and everything, but he's still just Clark Kent. Alighting safely, Clark removes his outer garments, transforming himself into the mighty Superman. Bernier has proven his complicity beyond any doubt. Now to get the truth out of him. Even if I have to use violent measures. Ooh, baby. Superman using violent measures. My favorite. So he leaps away. But as he leaps away, he looks back at Lois and says, "You're released from your trance." And she's like, "What? Huh? I can't remember a thing. What? I can't remember a thing that happened after we were trapped in that shack. Where's Clark?" She has her hand to her forehead like, "Oh my goodness. What is going on?" So we see Bernier approaching the main office of the lumber camp. This guy is going to... So Bernier isn't the boss. I guess he's the manager? I don't know what's going on here. And we know that because we see Superman going after him and he's saying, "There's Bernier approaching the main office of the lumber camp." Clark jumps on the roof and he sees... Bernier turns to see if he's being trailed. And on the roof, Superman says, "You're looking in the wrong direction, pal." He says it to himself, but he's being a little cocky. So Bernier goes in. What? Bernier enters the office, and he says, "I just polished off them two spies, Kent and Lane." And this guy, who answers him, well, first he says, "Splendid, Bernier. You have more brains than I give you credit for." He's a man in a suit, sitting behind a desk at his office at his lumber camp, and he's wearing a Lone Ranger bandit mask. Like, what? What? Who is he hiding his face from? Like, he just assumes that, you know, he's working at this camp, and this is the guy at the main office, and he's wearing a mask. I don't get it, but I absolutely adore it. In the next panel, we see Superman on the roof, and he's looking down off the cabin and he sees, uh-oh. He says, why? It's Lois approaching. Lois is eavesdropping at the window of the cabin. And she's thinking, if I could only learn that masked man's identity. Like, again, why is he a masked man? We don't know. Uh-oh, stupid Cliff is here. As she's seized by Cliff, who is stealthily approaching behind her. He says, "Snooping, huh? I don't know how you escaped that explosion, but you won't get away this time." It's like, Cliff, you pushed her into a whirlpool. She survived. You blew her up. She survived. What makes you think that she's not going to get away this time? So Cliff brings her inside the office and says, "Look who I caught spying at the window." And Francois Beignet's like, that girl. But I thought. And she says, "Thought that I was dead? Guess again." And the masked man's like, "So you killed both spies, huh?" Like, even he's like, "Mwah, mwah." The next panel, he looks at the boss. He says, "Anyway, I sabotaged production like you said I should. Where is my reward?" And the masked man says, "You failed to keep your end of the bargain. So your reward is death." And the next panel, he pulls out a gun and shoots Beignet. Boom. Just like, and he goes, and he's dead. Then he looks over at Cliff. And he turns the masked man, the masked man turns his gun on Cliff and says, boom. And Cliff goes, "Rah!" So how many people has Lois seen die in front of her? And then the guy says to himself for no reason, "The girl is next." Like, who's he talking to? I don't know. But atop the cabin, Superman, who was up there the whole time, saw two men get killed, now waits and smashes in part of the roof and says, "That fiend is about to shoot Lois." And then in quite possibly one of my favorite panels ever. Oh my goodness. As the killer fires at Lois, Clark smashes the roof and a piece of the roof falls down. Now, Superman doesn't do anything to save Lois. By happenstance, a piece of wood, a falling beam crashes down. And while it's crashing down, he shoots Lois. The bullet ricochets off the fallen beam. And as it's written here in the comic, it crashes back into his skull. So we see the gun, we see the shot fired, and we see the bullet hit the beam, rebound right into his head. And Lois is like, don't shoot, but he shoots. And he says, die, you spy. Oh! In the very next panel, Lois removes the mask from the dying killer. It's Brent Hall. You'd think she would not be able to recognize him after the bullet, you know, exploded his face. But that doesn't seem to be the case. And he's not dead? He's not dead yet? I don't know. But apparently he's like, yes. And he's here to explain everything that happened. Yes, I wanted Ken's millions. I murdered him. Later, I got Bernier to sabotage the lumber interest. My motive, to then buy the interest for a song. Then I assume he died. Because in the next panel is the last panel. A few minutes later, Clark enters. And Lois is like, and that's what he confessed. The underprivileged boys will now be able to get their summer camp. And though I never once saw him, I have a hunch that Superman helped us get a swell story. And Clark's like, I wish you'd stop mooning about Superman and think about me for a while. Meanwhile, there's three dead guys on the floor. And they're like, the kids are going to get their camp. Oh, I bet Superman helped. Clark's like, well, what about me? And Clark, you know you're Superman, so you really don't have to pine that much. Maybe be like, let's call the cops and let's cover these bodies because they're starting to stink. Maybe, just a thought. But that's it. That is Action Comics number 33. So what do we learn here? Well, I think, you know, and again, I don't do much research. But we know that CPR and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation doesn't exist yet. But I also think this is the first time that Superman in Action Comics used the term up, up, and away, I think. At least as of what I can remember. And we did hear someone mentioning the editor calling him white. And he's a white guy, but I think maybe we're going to start seeing him referred to as Mr. White, maybe possibly Perry White? I don't know. We shall see. What else do we learn? We learned that they like to write phonetically when a guy has an accent, and that is how this guy write. Maybe he, I don't know. My accent was all over the place, but it was fun to do. We learned that Cliff didn't want to kill until he wanted to kill. Now he's dead. And like these two men were shot right in front of Lois, and she was like, huh, we got a great story. Like, she didn't see, I would have, like, fainted. Maybe pee-peed myself a little. I don't know. It just, Lois, she's got a strong constitution, I think is what they say. But I feel like that's it. Nothing else major happened. Clark, you know, he did, like, it almost looked like he was flying. But I don't know. I'm not going to say he is yet. But again, it might just start showing up, like I mentioned before. But it'll be interesting to just kind of see the transition when it does happen. Other than that, this was a fun comic because it had a great panel of a guy, you know, shooting himself in the head by accident. Really Superman kind of haphazardly saving Lois, waiting. Like, he's on the roof. He hears the first gunshot while Lois is in there. And he's like, I wonder what's going on down there. Here's the second gunshot. And he's like, oh, I better. Then he hears him say, the girl's next. He's like, okay, now I better do something about it. Like, come on, Supes. You're quicker than that. Other than that, you know, a lot of underprivileged youths. They always write about, you know, boy camps and like helping out youths. Not utes, but youths. So I wonder if that's something just important in Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster's life. I looked it up. They weren't orphans. I mean, they had parents. I thought maybe there was a connection there. But no. That's it, my friends. I think we touched everything we needed to touch upon. I think we covered everything we need to cover on. And I think we enjoyed a very fun issue of Action Comics. So until next time, my friends, thank you guys for listening and subscribing. You can find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality, on Instagram at Geek Mentality, and also at Reaction Comics. The website is fansnotexperts.com. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. And until next time, remember, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Goodbye, super friends. So long. Yes, I'm actually waving. Goodbye.
Fans Not Experts.